Log Talk Radio.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose or diagnose. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Welcome to another edition of the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, episode 54. Yeah, I'm here with Sign Guy, the guy who's so fly, he's going to take you to the sky. He's going to make you feel high. And I don't have to lie, because he might be better than baseball, hot dogs, and apple pie. How you doing, Sign Guy?
Doing all right today, Coach.
Why don't you introduce our guest real quick?
Our guest today, he might be a few different names, but whether you know him as Bruiser Joe or Yakima Jack. Bruiser, how's it going?
I'm doing okay, Sign Guy. And yeah, I've been called a lot of names, especially by my wife.
I hear that.
All right, so yes, we are proud and honored to have you on today, Bruiser Joe. Been up and down the road with you, worked with you, been against you and all that. But there's a reason that there's hardly any Canadians that have been on the Turnbuckle Turmoil's, hardly any Canadians are on the Turnbuckle Turmoil library of over 1,800 wrestlers have been on there so far. That is because it used to be set up where the Canadians were charged money to call in, so they never called in. So we're not sure if that's the case here. So, Bruiser, if you don't mind, I can call you back just to make sure.
Okay, that's fine, because, you know, we got a lot of snow up here right now, so the lines could get tangled. So I'll hang up. You call me right back. You know the number?
Yes, I got it.
Okay.
All right.
I'll talk to you in a minute.
Thank you, brother. Okay, yes.
Okay.
And then, all right, cool. And then we know you're busy also, Sign. Aren't you at the Taylor Swift concert?
I am not. There's a possibility of maybe I'll go to one of them. Not confirmed as of yet.
Okay, so yes, right now I'm giving it a try. Why don't you hum a show tune for us?
All right.
Which one was that?
Hello. There we go.
Bruiser Joe.
I'm back on.
My goodness, yes, like I said, it's been an honor to have you on. We're proud and, you know, privileged to have you on. We know you're a busy guy. You got show today. My goodness, you're still out there kicking ass. How old are you?
Still kicking butt. Yep. Still kicking butt. 65 years old. Big fair show today. 7,000 people. It's a country western deal. We're doing a big show there right in the middle of the crowd. So it's going to be great. And it's hotter than hell here, too.
Oh, my goodness. Now, Sign Guy, why don't you get us going with the first-timer question?
Bruiser Joe, how did you get into this crazy professional wrestling business?
I started watching wrestling in 1965. I was probably sitting on my father's lap drinking his beer, watching the Anoa'i brothers, Dutch Savage, Jimmy Snuka started maybe 1970. You know, all these old-timers, the Brute, you know, Sean Reagan, big-time wrestling. They got Mad Dog Maine, who was Moondog Maine, of course, and the Royal Kangaroos, Lord Jonathan Boyd, and Norman Charles III, Frederick Charles III. Do you remember them? We are the Royal Kangaroos. We wear wrestling shoes. They always had a good poem. They always had a good interview with Frank Bonema.
Exactly.
That's going into the 70s.
And you know some of those guys personally, like Lonnie Maine, you said.
No, I never knew Lonnie Maine. He died in 78,
oh, okay.
I think, in San Bernardino. I know Gene Kaniski's kids. They were my age.
Okay.
Flick Nick, he wrestled all over with Medusa Bocelli and what was the other guy's name? Nails there. I can't remember. Kevin something. And, of course, there
Kevin
was Kelly Kudis. Yacht Kelly wrestled up here and in Minneapolis. They were all trained by the Funks, too, down in the Double Cross Ranch there in Amarillo. Gene sent him down from here after he, you know, had put him in his dungeon sort of thing. Then they'd send him down to the Funk Boys, you know, give him a little sharpening
okay,
up
right.
there.
Yeah, right on. Okay, and then Sign Guy, before I get to my part of the interview, what was the show tune?
That was I Dream of Jeannie.
Oh, okay. I just guess I couldn't hear it. Sorry. All right. All right. Anyways, now here, let's get going because Bruiser's time is money here. Now, Bruiser, this part of the section of my interview segment is called Heroes. Who were your heroes growing up?
Pretty much professional wrestling would have been, like I said, Jimmy Snuka, Dutch Savage, Victor Rivera, Freddie Blassie, John Tolos, good guys and bad guys, you know, Lonnie Maine, Bombs Away there, Doink's dad, what's his name, Tough Tony Bourne, you know, guys like that, eh? Orman Malumba,
okay.
Guy with a 22-inch arms, Siegfried Steinke. I seen him and Dutch Savage in a coal miner's glove match right up here in Cloverdale. That was back
wow.
in the early 70s. Lots of blood.
Okay, yeah. And then what about your heroes in ordinary life?
Oh, let's say Jesus Christ.
Okay, yeah, exactly.
That's the only hero you need. Hulk Hogan, nah.
Okay.
Maybe if I was a kid growing up in the 80s, but... All you need
okay.
is Jesus.
Okay, and then what about your heroes in sports?
Bobby Orr, Phil Esposito, Gary Cheevers, you know, back in the old days, of course, everything. You're talking to an old guy, all my heroes are from the past.
Yeah, and what about the days of Phil Clark with no helmet, no nothing, out there teethless and just kicking ass?
Oh, of course, Tiger Williams, guys like that. Well, they used to have Tiger Williams on Stampede Wrestling out of Calgary. They'd bring him in, and he'd wrestle, you know, tag team partner with Bruce Hart or something. They'd go against, like, Rotten Ron Starr and, you know, whoever. So, they put some good fighters, good scrappers in there. Always have to add a...
I seen one... There, my buddy used to have bootleg tapes, you know, and... So he had a bootleg random match. It was Ron Starr versus Mankind, man. Oh, my God. Ron Starr put it to him, dude. I mean, he is no slouch. That was an amazing match.
Well, yeah, Ron Starr came out of an era where, I mean, he was all over the place. He'd wrestle in Los Angeles, up here. He'd be back east, down south, Louisiana, Texas, Mississippi. He was all over the place, you know. And though I don't think he got the credit that he deserved, a lot of guys were like that, you know. Back in those days, you know, they'd call you a mid-carder probably, but you could be main event on smaller territories or something, you know.
Exactly, yeah. Okay, and then what about your heroes in music?
Oh, that goes back to the 70s again. Led Zeppelin, you know, Black Sabbath, all the bands that are, you know, Boston, you know, the Cars, so many of them, you know. I suppose starting off with the Beatles, you know, lots of lots of good heavy rock.
Okay, and then did you play sports in high school or growing up?
Yeah, wrestling. I did wrestling. I was, believe it or not, got wrestling started in my grade school, like grade 6 and 7, which was an elementary school. Unheard of. We had mats. I said to the teacher, he was the gym teacher, I says, can we do wrestling? He says, that's funny you ask. He says, I used to coach wrestling in high school. So we started a wrestling program right in elementary school. So I was 2 years there and then up into the high school, you know, 8 to 12, and we wrestled, you know, period. I didn't go to any championships, but I wrestled with John Tenta, you know, the Earthquake. He went to school with me. So I played rugby with him and against him and wrestled. He used to take about 3 of us and just squash us on the mat for the count. Or put us in a bear hug until
goodness.
He'd put you in a bear hug until you pooped your pants.
Oh, my
Everybody
goodness.
Could see what you had for lunch.
That's no joke, yeah, huh? And you got 3 guys who shit their pants, not just one, huh?
That's right. Yeah, the mats were pretty stained up.
Okay, now then, let's check it out here. So then, you already got pro wrestling and amateur wrestling on your self-defense background. What other self-defense
I was also almost a black belt in Hapkido.
Okay, I love that.
And
form.
I did boxing, too. That's why I got my name, the Bruce, because...
Okay, and no wonder you're so damn tough. My God, we've been up and down the road. I mean, you've been a member of the Real School Army. I hired you out one weekend to help me in the Real School Army against Ron Von Hess down there in SCW. We defended the SCW NGW Universal, Unified Titles. And then we've also faced each other dozens of times all over the place.
That's right, with Kevin Sullivan in there and the King, what's his name, Dale Houston.
Yeah.
No, Randy Taylor, the Garbage Man, the Pimp. all the old timers, that's great. It's, you know, that's what made it. And you can have all your high flyers now, but it's good to remember the old guys and keep the longevity going. Well, I was just down in Oregon wrestling at the fair down there. Me and my buddy up here came down, and we were also at the Strawberry Festival in Marysville, just north Everett there. So, we're still
hitting
the different places. CPW, Pacific Northwest Pro Wrestling, that kind of thing. Christopher Ryzik, he comes up here all the time, and, of course, we go down there and, you know, we're usually teamed up with him or, you know, on the same side of the river, so to speak.
Yeah, he's a good guy to have on your team, my God. And then back to our matches, my God, every match we had was knockout, drag out. And then the other thing I'm proud of is when I hired you to go against Von Hess and his Shinshiku Madness group with the Japanese theme there, we handled them, too.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we never had a problem handling, I know, 3 or 4 guys at a time. I remember when we had the Double Trouble Texas Tape Fist Death Match on the New Year's Evil show, and I took Von Hess outside into the parking lot, and there was a big van sitting out there, and we were cracking our heads off there. I was bleeding all over the place. He hit me into the stucco side of the building there at La Pablanita's. So, there was blood everywhere. Pretty sure you were there that night. I don't know.
Jeez, I know. Those were the days, man. We wrestled there hundreds of times. My goodness.
I got blood all over somebody's tacos and enchiladas. They thought it was hot
goodness,
sauce.
Yeah.
They thought it was Canadian hot sauce.
Yes, because Canadian fans love blood. And then most of the places in Canada don't have regulations on blood, right?
That's right.
Compared to America, some of the places, you even have a drop of blood, they cancel the show.
Oh, yeah, some guy gets a nosebleed on the way to the ring or something. That's it. It's done. It's over. Plus, you got to pay $500 bucks for 2 ambulance drivers and a meat wagon. So up here, you just go ahead and, you know, take your chances, right? barbed wire, you name it. Oh, he used to have some dandies. I got the glove right down in my showroom there. It's the Texas devil wire gauntlet. It's got, it just think of a coal miner's glove. I got one of those too with blood on it. But the big
wow.
steel bar is, but this devil wire is wrapped around a gauntlet. So when I've had that thing stuck in my head, I don't know how many bloody times. And it goes right into the bone, so you're actually, when you get off the mat, somebody's DDT'd you into it. It's actually sticking out of your head. You,
oh.
You're carrying it around until you pull it out.
That's quite
pretty
a
scary.
Picture, huh?
Oh,
that's
yeah, yeah.
Picture.
I've got some pictures of things like that, but, you know, that's always the moment everybody's gasping and nobody's hitting the photos, you know, like that. Crazy.
That's true, yeah, because that's a picture of a knucklehead. You got a knuckle on your head.
You got a barbed wire gauntlet on your head. You're wearing it. You're ready to go to somebody's funeral or wedding with that on.
Goodness, yeah, huh? Okay, all right. Yeah. Hey, I heard something to do with a funeral a while back. Danny Bonaducci show. They were talking about people going to funerals. And then the subject was, who brings rubbers to a funeral?
Yeah. Oh.
Same type of thing. Who's bringing that headdress to a funeral?
There you go.
Okay, there you go. Okay. All right.
I remember
what let's get. Excuse me.
Yep, go ahead.
I'm listening. No, I'm listening.
Oh. I was just going to say, adding to the blood stories, I know it's getting a little gory here. I got cut so bad, I think it was an X-Acto knife, and I probably lost over a pint of blood. It was just shooting
goodness.
Out everywhere. I had to go to the hospital, and the doctor later says, you know what we're going to do with that? We're going to super glue it. So instead of stitches, super glue, and then he put the Steri-Strips on. So it was a real nasty. I still got the scar. That'll stay with me into the coffin.
And then, hey, that goes to show you, that proves you don't have to go to the doctor, right? You just do yourself. What the fuck?
That's right. The next time I said I'll just do it myself or get the old lady to do it. She's probably going to hit me over the head with a fry pan anyways later on, so bust it back open.
Okay. All right, now let's get back to this because these fans are dying to hear a lot of these questions because they've wrote in and told me. Okay, so let's get back to it now. You've worked a lot of different characters as yourself. Tell the fans your different characters.
Well, that would be kind of giving away some of my masked identities, wouldn't it?
You don't have to go there, but still, I mean, so I guess you've done many masked characters. There's a start. You've done Yakima Jack and Bruiser Joe. Any others?
Well, there was Dr. Wrestling, Dr. Doom. That came with stethoscope and the doctor's mask and the whole shot, the gynecological light on top, until he got into the ring. Of course, that all came off, but I've done the Texecutioner, the Wild Bull, El Toro Loco, El Bullshito, for all of Lucha shows I've been at. El Bullshito, I know, sometimes you got to...
Hey, hold on a second. That helps having that gimmick, man. You got more shows, more bookings.
That's right. Especially 19 and over, you get away with the El Bullshito, right? If you know how to spell that,
yeah.
Right? You just put an O on the end of bullshit. So.
And those crowds have a built-in following that is amazing.
Well, I just did the rodeo, the wild rodeo bull at the Cloverdale Rodeo here. We were at the great big building there. It holds 6,000. We didn't get quite that many, but... I did a bull rope match with Odin Rex. He's a great big 23-inch arm guy. And that was good. The fans loved it because it was rodeo time. I got the cowboy boots on. I got the bull mask. And they're just going crazy for this bull rope match. You know, fits. It's a rodeo, right? What are you going to have? You're going to have bulls and cowboys. So.
Right on. Okay. Okay, now this next segment is called Memorable Matches. What are the most memorable matches you've ever seen? And that includes on television, on a VHS tape from the 70s, on a CD, on the internet, live, whatever. Most memorable matches you've seen.
How about my own matches?
No, well, that was the next question. First, I
want okay,
to
that's what I thought. Okay, I'm jumping ahead of you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I see. Now, you know, I want to go back into the old days again where I've seen, you know, coal miners,
coal miners,
glove matches and cage matches, Jimmy Snuka jumping off the, you know, in Madison Square Garden onto Don Morocco off the top of the cage, Ric Flair's matches, reffed by Gene Kaniski in the Checker Dome in St. Louis. You know, all these kind of matches. The old, some of the old ones with, you know, Chris, what was his name there? Oh, shoot. They were the Hell's Angels. You know, they were in Dean Silverstone Superstar Wrestling out of Seattle, you know, at the Masonic Temple there. What was his name? He painted his eyes like
Chris
like, Ellis Cooper there. Chris Colt. And Ronnie Dupree. That's right. Ronnie Dupree died in the ring in Tacoma back in, I don't know, 69 or 70
Damn,
or
okay.
something. You know,
Jeez,
so,
okay.
yeah.
I know about that history.
Ripper Collins. You remember Ripper Collins? The King Ripper Collins from Hawaii. He was good.
Yeah, yeah.
He was always bleeding too. Yeah, though there were some dandies. I couldn't tell you all the different matches that I enjoyed. You know, right from the Road Warrior area. You know, in the 80s. You know, the some of the different, you know, teams like the Fabulous Ones, of course, Stan Lane and Steve Kearn, and they had some dandies with the Moondogs, the Wild Moondogs in Memphis. You know, tables flying, that kind of thing. Just great stuff, you know, and some of the Japanese stuff in the 90s, they're from, you know, FMW and that, and they had exploding barbed wire matches and, you know, Hiroshima matches where these bombs go off and everybody's kind of tucked under the ring, you know, crazy stuff.
Okay. And then you've been in some crazy stuff too. Yes, we are loving, we cannot wait to hear your most memorable match.
Oh, yeah, yeah, wrestling, the Honky Tonk Man, Gangrel, the Vampire Warrior. Who else have I wrestled? Well, Ole Olsen from Everett there. You guys know who he is. I've had some good matches with a lot of different. And, of course, me and the Mighty Iton were as the Breakers, we were the tag team champs up there for a year and a half. You know, that's a long run with having the tag belts.
In that area, yeah.
That was a lot
of defenses.
Yeah, that's right. And we gave it to them. We'd always come out with a different entrance. And, you know, sometimes we'd come out looking like the Fabulous Ones with the top hats on and the coats. Or we'd just come out with the Destruction Crew. We came out with the hard hats on and, you know, axes and chainsaws one time. There's one thing on there where we came out in a big battle royal, weapons battle royal with a couple of chainsaws going there, just like Leatherface cleared the ring. That's on the internet. You can look that one up, how the Breakers clear the ring or something. I can't remember. You'd have to look the title up.
And you
Pretty
have
cool.
one of the greatest managers, right?
We had, yep, Vicious Vern Siebert, Dr. Vern, we're still working together. I'm the only one left in the Breakers out of about four of us. So him and I still do the rounds here.
Okay.
He won't be there today, I don't think, but we'll be.
Any others?
Brees you down in Vancouver. We'll be in Chilliwack, Abbotsford, all over.
All right. Any other memorable matches you can have us look up?
Off the top of my, you'd probably just find a whole bunch of different matches from us there. There might be some singles too. I don't know what's on there anymore. Like, oh, and of course I've got my movies that I did. I was in, videos, you know, like music videos with Sanrio. And some of those, I mean, they went all over the world, but they were on AT&T commercials and everything, the songs. So, yeah, I'm in there as a gunslinger. And quite a few of us wrestlers got on some of these these videos and that. They were looking for, you know, guys that could do stunts and fighting and all that, and a couple of B movies, and you know, you show your face sort of thing. But so yeah, there's
okay.
a lot of stuff out there. You just have to dig around for it. I've probably got stuff
okay.
on my website. You know, you can look up a lot of pictures. You know, lots
right.
of stuff like.
Hey, right on. Now, we know that your time is money. We got 1 hour from you today, so I'm about to give you back to my brother, Sign Guy.
You betcha. I know Sign Guy. I pulled on his beard a lot of times from Portland all the way up to Bellingham.
You definitely have.
You can't pull it now. I can reach through the phone. I'll grab you by the throat so your tongue hangs out like a long red necktie.
It'd be nice.
Well, luckily, you don't have, like, the ability to reach through the phone. Bruiser, one of the matches, you didn't mention it, but you had one that Pro Wrestling Illustrated covered in detail. It was in Bremerton at Pablanitas. There was a record for shortest tag team title reign. You want to discuss that?
Oh, yeah. Now, that was me and I believe it was Dale Houston. And the coach was with Kevin Sullivan.
Kevin.
And you guys rolled us up after our interview and took those titles, and I still claim that was an illegal. I called the NWA, but I didn't get a response back. I don't think anybody was going to. Yeah, they weren't going to back us. So Dale Houston and I went to a lawyer, but again, it just didn't. You guys are lucky you didn't get nailed on that one. You stole those titles,
okay.
just like everybody stole titles from me.
Yeah.
It's pro wrestling. You never lose them. They're stolen from you. You know that.
Now, you have had a long career. How many times would you say did you appear in Pro Wrestling Illustrated, whether it was talking about a match or rankings or whatever the case may be?
Well, as far as I don't know. I mean, I used to look at Pro Wrestling Illustrated when I was a kid. That's where they had all the old-timers in there. I've still got some of those in the basement, those magazines. But I think, I'm not sure, I might have been in there one, well, I know the one time, but I might have been in there again, but I can't. I saved a copy of the one here that we were just talking about, but I don't know about the others. I couldn't say for sure. I've been in a lot of different magazines other than that, especially around the Northwest and the Canadian, you know, up here. They've got different books that were listed in from Vance, Nevada. He's got a few books he's written. Great wrestler himself, especially on the Canadian frontier here. So, yeah, we've been listed in a lot of different magazines, but Pro Wrestling Illustrated, of course, one of the biggest ones. If you're in there, you know you made it sort of thing, you know. It's the main rag, sort of like Rolling Stone magazine, you know.
Now, one of the other things in pro wrestling that a lot of people look to as sort of a point of pride is to get recognition for being in the PWI 500. A lot of wrestlers, especially if they don't make the 500, say it's rigged and you have to pay to be in it and they don't care. The second they do make it, it's a whole different story and it's from hard work and dedication and so forth, but a lot of people pay attention to PWI during the 500 season. Did you ever personally put much stock into the PWI 500?
Oh, I think that it's probably pretty much legit that way. I don't know. You know, you can say that about anything. They talk about the rock bands being in the, you know, the Hall of Fame and that, and they say that's just a big, you know, now they got country bands in the Hall of Fame for rock and roll, you know, so that one would probably be more, you know, exploited in that sense than PWI is probably right on the money, you know, and if you don't see your name in it, maybe you were the next one to go in, so wait another year.
Exactly.
How about Referee of the Year? You ever been in that one?
I have not.
And you've reffed a lot of matches. But this isn't your interview.
That's very true, very true. I have repped a lot of matches. Now, up there in Canada, wrestling was sort of a different sport than what we had in the United States a lot of times in the territorial system. It was kind of a more rugged sport. You had a lot of more physicality-based presentation than in a lot of the American promotions. Stampede, of course, famous for a lot of blood. Over in the Vancouver area, it was very physical. Lots of cage matches and stuff there. Do you think that, by and large, it was harder to wrestle full-time in Canada as opposed to wrestling full-time in the United States?
Well, back in the territory days, I would say that because you've got, like Stampede Wrestling, for instance, they did the prairies. Well, in the wintertime, if you're driving from Calgary to Saskatoon every week, that's a heck of a drive in the bloody snow and crap. Like, those are hard territories to move around in. As far as the blood and Stu Hart's dungeon in the basement, that's all hard stuff, too, because I know guys that have been in there, and that's scary. But, you know, B.C. is a big territory, and they go right to the top of it. So a lot of driving, you know, same with back in the Maritimes and that. They were driving in bad weather. Even, you know, Ontario, big province. Depends where you situated. If you're in the Toronto area, you might not be too bad, but like Maple Leaf Wrestling. But, yeah, oh, yeah, lots of blood and, you know, hard-hitting. But I don't think it was any different than, you know, you go to Minneapolis. I mean, look at how many wrestlers came out of Minnesota. I mean, all the greats, right? You know, Texas, that's a big territory. Mind you, they had quite a few different promotions in that one state, sometimes maybe five at once, you know, depending. West Texas, there was Texas All-Star in San Antonio and, of course, Dallas and Fort Worth had, you know, Wild Wild West and then the Oklahoma Territory and Bill Watts' UWF. They'd go through there, you know, and Louisiana and Arkansas. And so lots of traveling there too, really. If you were big, you're going to be hitting all the states there, you know, down in the South or Mid-South. And so, you know, I think that, you know, even a little bit colder, you know, when you get up north, you get into Winnipeg there, and they'd always have the AWA there. Al Tomko was promoting there for years. So, yeah, some good matches out of there. But then they go up north. Well, it's cold. It's rugged driving. But as far as the wrestling goes, pretty much the same everywhere, I think. You know, like we used to have John Tolis come up from Los Angeles all the time, Tiger Jeet Singh, all the biggies. You know, even, I mean, Moondog Maine wrestled up here, Ripper Collins, all those guys. So, you know, we've seen them all. We got them all. You just wait for them. Every 2-3 months, there's somebody new coming in. So
now, a lot of times, wrestlers, especially in the territory days, would have a career goal of going to Japan. Back years and years ago, it was a rite of passage if you were to get the Ribera Steakhouse jacket. It was sort of an emblem that you have accomplished something exclusive. Did you ever look into making trips to Japan to wrestle?
I've been there a couple of times. Yeah, we had some really good matches over there. This was quite a few years ago. They wanted me to go again in September here, but I've got a bunch of other stuff to do, and I'm getting arthritis in my knees and that. I don't want to be on a longer trip, and you know, it's a long ride over there on the plane and that, so I think I bowed out. Doesn't mean I can't go, but it'll be a last-minute thing if I did. But, yeah, I think I'm just going to, you know, stay with what I've got. I got enough bookings now for the rest of the year, so I'll just leave it at that. But, yes, Japan was amazing, and it is a rite of passage. And, man, they treat you well. You are a superhero when you go over there. Girl on each arm sort of thing, just for flash. Like, you know, we're not talking about anything smutty. We're just talking about they just really treat you good as a, you know, as a celebrity, so to speak, you know. So it's well worth if you get a chance to go. I've had offers for Australia, Egypt, South America, Mexico, you know, and holding down a full-time job, you know, you kind of got to watch, you know. You can't just bugger off when you want, you know. Not all the time, anyway.
How did you pick up the Ribera jacket?
No, but we were at a steakhouse in Osaka, and it was one of the more famous ones. I can't remember now which one it was, but we were there. We also went, when we were in Tokyo, we went to Killer Khan's restaurant, and we met Killer Khan and had dinner with him. And we met the grand kabuki there, the guy that used to spit the green mist, the first guy that ever did that. So we seen his restaurant and had dinner with him and his wife. And, you know, seen all the posters. And it's amazing in Japan. They've got wrestling exclusive warehouses you can go into. And they've got every magazine you can think of from the West or from Japan. They've got pictures, and you can buy masks from Tiger Mask sort of thing. You know, they've got the jackets on the walls, the boots. Anything you want is there. It's just amazing. Like, it's just so big over there. It's just crazy. There's so many promotions. They go into, like, naked girl wrestling and everything. They'll have it on the same show as, you know, the pro wrestling. You know, it's just a real medley of some of these arenas. Like, they'll have all these different types of wrestling on a shoot wrestling. And, you know what I mean? It's just crazy.
We know that a lot of times pro wrestling is a sport where you need a lot of cardio to endure. And up in Canada, of course, there are a lot of mountainous ranges, and sometimes the elevation's fairly high, which presents trouble if you are not in good cardio. Did you ever have any issues with going to a higher elevation to wrestle, or did it take a little bit of time for you to adjust?
Never had that problem. I can't remember being up in too high of places. I don't think that range would affect you. But if you tried to wrestle on top of, you know, like, you know, halfway up Mount Baker or something, or over on Hawaii where you go up to the top of, you know, Kilauea or something, you'd probably have some problems. What I do find, though, is when we have outdoor shows or even indoor shows where they don't have good circulation in the summer and it's up over 100 degrees, that can really wind the guy fast, too. And you're sweating buckets. I remember we used to do fair shows, and they'd say, can you go out there and wrestle for an hour as a tag team? And you've done every move you know about 10 times, you know, and you're just sweating. And your tongue's hanging out, like I said, like a long red necktie at the end of it all. So it's, the ring's just drenched. But that would be more the case, you know, the heat. Sometimes outdoor shows, the mat's so hot, depending what the mat's made of, you don't even want to fall on it because your skin's burning, right? You know, the guy's rubbing your face in the mat and you're getting burns on it. I seen a guy that used to wrestle barefoot, and he was just dancing around on he had to put a pair of boots on before he could wrestle.
Now, oftentimes wrestlers eventually transition into the training aspect of things, and they will train the new generation of wrestlers. Do you do a lot of training of the new wrestlers?
I have in the past, not so much in the last year. They do have a couple of good training programs up here, so I've helped with that sort of thing. It's kind of like anything, you know, you can help people in every situation, and you can still learn yourself, of course, so everybody's helping everybody. But yeah, at this point, no, I haven't been helping to train anybody, teaching my own bad habits sort of thing. But you know, I'm thinking about getting into management down the road, where I'll be managing some wrestlers and possibly, you know, wrestling with them in their corner as a six-man tag and that.
So we'll see.
I'll be the new Dr. Vern when Vern retires.
Now, you did stand in the corner for the CPW Tag Team Champions, Team Sexy, at the Strawberry Festival in Marysville, Washington. Are you planning to manage that team on a more full-time basis?
That is a big possibility. And one of the reasons they have me there, of course, is to keep the women away from the as they come out to the ring, because women can get pretty wild and, you know, they can blow kisses, they can scream and holler and pass out and jump up and down like when the Beatles were in town, but you can't touch them. You can't touch the boys because they're busy focusing on their match. And when they throw somebody outside the ring, I'm there to pat the guy on the back, give him a little encouragement, and throw him back into them. I'm sure you've seen that when you were there.
Always the first. In the rule book for infractions, I may have missed it.
Yeah, I never, it's not true. I did not hit anybody outside the ring that was thrown to me. I merely tapped him on the shoulder, on the back, and said, you're doing a good job, get in there and use your skill. And I tossed them back in to Mr. Ryzik and Mr. Smith, TKO. And, you know, unfortunately, those guys lost it. They were the moonshiners. Maybe, possibly, they drink a little too much of the shine. I don't know. But I did not at any point become aggressive with them. I merely tried to help them out, give them that little edge. Because I know my team likes good competition, good stiff competition. Does that answer your questions?
Yes, and I would hope you wouldn't be aggressive. That's against the rules.
I would never, well, you know me. I would never hit a guy outside the ring when I'm not in the match. You know, I'm just there to, like I said, help him back into the ring gently. I've never punched a guy in the head or his head off the ring post when the referee wasn't looking. You know me better than that.
Yeah, I would hope so. Well, I know Coach also has a few more questions and hopping at the bit with whistle in his mouth, so I'm going to pass things back to Coach.
All right. Okay, I hope I've answered all your questions.
And then I'm sure we got room for a couple more. We'll see. Now, let's see. I got some notes from what I've already heard so far in this interview. One about you pulling on signed guy's beard in matches. I'm sure you've done that plenty of times, but I can guarantee you I do not remember you pulling his beard when I was in the ring, because I would have none of that. Okay, I'll let you know right now.
Is that a fact? Okay. Well, I know I did in Portland and Seattle, Tacoma, Everett. Was it Bellingham, Bremerton? Well, that's a lot of towns to pull a guy's beard. I'm surprised it's still intact.
Exactly. Okay, and then another note I had, man, come on, you let the fans know if this is true or not. I would be willing to bet that you're a fearless guy. You mentioned that you were something was scary earlier.
I was doing what?
You said you were scared. Somebody made you scared. Something was scary, you said. So I put a note that you said you were scared, and I thought you were fearless.
Well, I can't even remember what that would have been. It must have been sarcasm.
Okay,
probably scared of signed guy.
I wanted to make that clear because I didn't think you were scared. Okay, that's cool.
You better cross that out. I don't recall.
Just a phrase. All right, never mind. All right, now, who are your favorite people to work?
Well, I have worked the tag team champion there, TKO Cody Smith. He's a good guy to work with, against whatever, knows his stuff. We've done a lot of training together and trained others as well. Now, you know, in the professional wrestling, you're just like you and I, we've been against each other and we've been with each other. It's going to happen. You team up, and then something happens, and the next thing you know, you're at each other's throats. That's just the way it is. Anywhere near or around the ring or in the ring, things change, friendships change, all that kind of thing. So Honky Tonk Man was a great guy to wrestle. Gangrel, Ole Olsen, Randy Taylor, There's two of them there, Tyler and Taylor. And, of course, my breaker partner, the Mighty Iton, we wrestled a lot together, just going through moves and training, so good guy to work with. Even Vicious Vern, we retired him. He took us on in a handicap match, and we got rid of him. Yeah, yeah, that was his last match. I mean, we got him when he was a little older, but we put the final touches on him. But he pounded a few knuckle prints into our heads, too. He was pretty stiff. Yeah, those were the days.
You're proud of doing that to an old man, 2-on-1?
He's not much older than me. He wanted it. He wanted to take on his team of the Breakers, so we gave it to him. That was a good one. We used to have the films. I've got it here somewhere. I've got a stack of, CDs or DVD, whatever the hell you put in your computer here, you know. We've got about 1,000 matches or better just of some of that stuff, you know.
All right. And then so the next part of my interview is toughest opponents. I'd be willing to bet Vern is one of the toughest.
Vern would be, yeah. And I just, like I said, all those ones I said, whether it's Randy Taylor, whether it's you, whether it's Kevin Sullivan, it could be the Honky Tonk Man. I mean, they don't come no tougher than the Intercontinental Champion, baby. You know?
Yeah,
so,
exactly. Okay, and then so Tom, you were telling me a lot of people didn't like wrestling honky. You got some names for us.
Who said they didn't like wrestling them?
Sign.
Well, Sign guy said a lot of guys didn't like wrestling honky tonk.
Yeah, yeah. Where you at, Sign?
There were a few that had questions about. I know Eric Bischoff was not a fan of the Honky Tonk Man.
Well, I guess if he broke a guitar over your head, that's one thing. But I thought he was a great guy to wrestle with. And a great guy to listen to tell stories in the, because I knew a lot of the down south wrestling in the past, so me and him could talk for hours about, all the old time wrestlers in down south there.
And then I could think of a match specifically down in BCW Oregon. Honky Tonk Man was in a match in a team versus Kevin Sullivan's team. Bad Blood and Buddy Highway was in the match, right, Sign?
Yes, it was Honky Tonk Man, Dave Hollenbeck, and a boxer versus Honky Tonk Man, Bad Blood, and his nephew, Buddy Highway.
Yes, and it didn't work out well.
Well,
is that right?
Hollenbeck.
What was that?
Said it didn't for Hollenbeck. He got pinned.
Oh, okay. All right, now back to the interview. Let me see. I'm sure Sign Guy and the rest of the fans would love to know what your favorite coffee to drink is.
I don't drink coffee, so there you go.
Okay, we get that 45% of the time now, which is good. And then what's your favorite drinks?
I guess water's the best. If I couldn't drink anything else in my lifetime, I would have to stick with ice-cold water. Other than that, they make good beer out of water, so I like beer too. But I don't drink much of that anymore.
All right.
And, go ahead.
What's that?
I was going to say, I like. Oh.
What's your favorite
green teas, maybe. Sorry, go ahead again.
Your favorite sports teams.
Oh, you know something? Well, BC Lions, but I don't follow anything anymore. I used to. My dad, I've been all over the States watching the NFL back in the 80s and 90s. And, of course, we had the CFL up here. But, yeah, after my dad died, I didn't bother too much with watching baseball and sports anymore. So,
okay,
no time either.
We're still wondering what was your favorite sports teams in your life.
Well, I guess the BC Lions, the Seattle Seahawks, local boys, always going to Blue Jays, Toronto, Joe Montana, throwing the football there. I've seen him, John Elway. So, you know, seen some pretty good. I like Joe Namath in the past when he was, you know, throwing. So, you know, baseball, I guess, you know, I've seen the Yankees when Mr. Coffey there, Joe DiMaggio, was still alive, and 3 months later he died. I seen him at Yankee Stadium. They drove him around in a Cadillac or something there, and he was waving to everybody. So I got to see that. Yeah, 3 months later he died. So that was about 1999, I think it was. I was in New York. Yeah, pretty cool.
What's your favorite concerts that you've seen?
Concerts? Oh, yeah, Ted Nugent, Yes, Boston, Alice Cooper, Led Zeppelin. I never did see Black Sabbath. What else? Oh, all those kind of rock bands.
Okay, where'd you see Steve Zeppelin?
The Kingdom in Seattle.
Okay, nice, yes. Hey,
that's about 77.
Hey, that is.
I wanted to see Paul McCartney in the Wings, but I never made that.
Hey, both Paul McCartney and Led Zeppelin from the Kingdom is on YouTube, the full 3-hour concerts.
Wow. Oh, is that right, eh?
Yeah.
That was like The Song Remains the Same. That was the same time.
You're going to have to watch it again and tell me how much you remember of it.
Probably not that much. There was so much, you know what, in the air. I don't think anything.
Yeah, haven't you?
It was like any of these.
Fun, but...
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
But they played up here in the late 60s, but I never seen them then.
Okay. What are your suggestions for people wanting to get into the business?
In the wrestling business or the rock business?
Wrestling.
Well, I'd say about the same for both. Don't bother.
I've heard that a lot, yeah.
It's easier on your body. Yeah, I don't know. I would tell most people, unless you're just so dead wanting to do it, go and try it out. They'll usually give you tryouts and tell you one way or the other whether they think you can, you know.
Okay, yeah. That's good advice.
I wouldn't want to tell some young guy and blow his head apart because, you know, a million chances of one, you're not going anywhere. You'll be on a few cards and then your girlfriend will say, get out of that and, you know, let's have a baby and go to work and make money and and pay for a house for me. There's no time for wrestling, you know. So,
hey,
I don't think a lot of women.
Yeah, I want to remind the fans, this is coming from a guy, you've trained people and worked with some up-and-comers. You got some names for us.
Some of the guys up there we've trained, well, some of them aren't even wrestling anymore, but there was, let's see here. We got Battle Wasp up here. I worked with him a lot, and his old man helped train me, too. Like, learn a lot from him. He was really good with amateur programs at the schools. In fact, his daughters went to the finals. I think they even went to, I'm not sure about the Pan Am over in Ontario, but they were, he's really good wrestler all the way around, pro and amateur, so you can learn a lot from a guy like that. But some of the newer guys, we had, let's see, what was his name, Flex Payne. He was a big bodybuilder, but he's not in it anymore. He hurt his neck, helped train his girlfriend at the time. She was called Vixen. So some of the girls we helped train, or I helped train, and let me think, some of the other young guys. See, the memory's going here. I can't remember names. I can see the faces and that, but I get some of these guys mixed up, too, because they start to all look the same to me. They're just younger guys, right? I only can recognize the old guys as, I remember you from way back sort of thing, you know?
Yeah, that's true. And
there's so many promotions up here. You don't see a guy for a long time, you know? They got the Voros twins up here. They got, there's so many different Judas Iscariot and what's his name, Beef Boy, the heck is his name? Ah, I can't remember. They just call him Beef Boy, you know. So guys like that.
Okay,
and a lot of them were.
What schools do you suggest?
Oh, up here?
Yeah, anywhere.
Up here, the best one's probably right down at Jerry Gianco's gym, wrestling gym. They have martial arts there, too, and boxing. It's called Lionsgate Dojo, where we do the wrestling. We got two wrestling rings set up there. They got the crash pads. They do the high-flying, everything from technical ground-up sort of thing. They also do MMA and probably a little bit of boxing as well. They have shows there too. You know, they got the big lights and everything they set up. They've actually done a movie using that as part of the, you know, like a studio type wrestling.
Awesome.
You know. So yeah, it's pretty good, and that's a good school trained by a guy named Halo. His name was Halo. He wore a mask. Now he's you've probably seen him in Defy, Dylan Miller. What's his? Artemis Spencer. That's it.
Okay. Yeah.
And his wife.
Awesome.
His wife is Nicole Matthews, and she's been in Defy and all over. I think she's in NEW now, or AEW. What's the one there? The referee girl there, Girl Hebner.
Audrey.
Yeah. Audrey. So yeah, you know, the girls have done well, you know. The girls have gone all over.
Signs good friends with hers. And then, hey, man, I know we only got a few minutes left. I want to wish you all the luck in the world. We appreciate your time and for your interview. I know Signs got a couple more questions, and thanks again.
I was just going to say, we never even touched on the midgets. Remember little Samson there, short sleeve Samson, and he had the all midget tour, and they'd come up all the time. We had them. We had a lot of fun with them, wrestling with them, and I'm sure they were down in your way too, right?
Yeah, a bunch of times, yeah. Okay, what do you got coming up?
Oh, I've got some matches. Well, today, for instance, and then there'll be, yeah, quite a few bookings over the next couple of months. Just in this area here, you know, in the lower mainland, southwest Canadian BC here. So, and again, they asked me to go to Japan. I think I'm going to ixnay that. We were supposed to go to Korea and then back to Japan, too, just before COVID hit, and it threw that one off. You know, that kind of buggered up a lot of things when COVID hit. So,
my ultimate goal is to work in Korea. Can you help me get over there? My girl's Korean. I've been over there numerous times. I've done promos over there. I love Korea, man. I want to wrestle there so bad.
Yeah, and they do, right in Seoul there. That's where we were going to go. And we had the promoters in Japan that we were working for, the Asian Cougar, he's been over here. We have him over wrestling in, of course, in BC here. So he had a fellow wrestling for him that was the promoter in Korea, and he said we want all these guys over there, and they were going to have a great big one of these international things where people come from all over, like wrestlers from Australia, Japan, Mexico, Canada, U.S. And I was in on one of those in Japan, but they were going to do the same in Korea. And again, I guess with COVID and that, it got ixnayed, you know. So that was too bad.
Okay,
so I don't know what that guy's name is, but I could possibly find out from my other friend here that I went over to Japan with. He knows probably a lot more about that than I do. So.
Okay, cool. I'd definitely give you a finder's fee, or I'd definitely want you to come with me if you could. And then how do people get a hold of you?
Oh, like you, for instance, you got my number, you got my Facebook, so you got my message. And I'll find out what that promoter's name is. I'll message you, and you can message him. So.
Okay, thank you, brother. And you got anything else you want to plug or promote, or if you want to talk about the midgets?
No, I think we've talked about them enough. They
right,
bite.
Cool, brother,
play dirty. And,
yeah, and then, Rob, you know, hey, we're right at the 1 hour moment, so we appreciate your time, brother. Thank you so much.
All right.
God bless
Everything's
you.
Pro wrestling. Remember, it's the real McCoy. Pro wrestling's the only real sport. You know it. The coach is the coach with the most. East to west.
Thank you,
west
buddy.
All righty.
Thank so
Thanks
much.
For having me. All right. And sign
You're
guy,
welcome.
Keep that beard going because I'm going to pull it out one of these times.
Yeah, he's off. His phone died. But, yes, I'll relay that message to him, yes.
Yeah.
All right, brother.
All right.
Good luck and take it easy.
All right, you too. Thanks again. Talk to you soon. Okay. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. There he is, everyone. Bruiser Joe, Yakima Jack. Man of many faces, one of the toughest guys in the world. Been all over the world. My goodness. Hoping to work with him again. And, man, Mariners are playing Toronto today after winning last night. And, man, it's a beautiful day. Today is my girlfriend's birthday. So it's birthday weekend for her. So her, me and our dog and her, we're going to go have some fun here shortly. All right, guys, we appreciate you guys so much, all your feedback, your love and support and questions that you call about. And, just everything you guys do, we appreciate it, and we can't wait to come back because next week we got Ron Von Hess with a special controversial interview on the 29th. And on the August 5th, we got Nikki Sixx at 2:30 special time. And then August 12th, we got Hank Miller. August 19th, we got the guys from Seattle Sports Union, Abe and the Soul Man. And August 26th, we got YT Jones. And right now, we're in the middle of working on our September bookings. But once we find out our September bookings, we're looking to have Ken Hamlin on. We know that much. But thank you guys so much. We appreciate you. Here's the Never Were with my walk-on song called Coach Mike Jones' Walk-On Song by the Never Were and Joe Love.
That's right, everybody. You know who it is. Coach Mike Jones on the coach with the most. Coming at you hard from coast to coast. I don't want to boast, but now I got to roast you in my social media posts. You double dose, undiagnosed. You feeling tired, life expired, now you're a ghost. I'll be your host, so won't you raise a toast to the coach with the most, Coach Mike Jones.
Give out my info. You guys can check me out at Coach Mike Jones, the coach of the most. Coach Mike Jones on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. Don't forget to check out the Real School Army and the NGW Green Room for hundreds of interviews from celebrities all over the world. We want to thank you so much, and you guys can check us out every Saturday for the Coach Mike Jones Show podcast, Saturday at noon Pacific. Thank you so much, and we love you. God bless you.